So, David, would you just tell us a little bit about yourself, about who you are, please?
I'm David Archer. I'm the pastor of Annick Baptist Church. Have been for the last 12 years. Moved up from Bishop Auckland to work for the Northumbria community in 1997. Lived in Wooler for 3 years. But during that time, we're still working. We're worshipping at Annick Baptist Church, where Gordon Turner was the pastor. Then worked for three years as a pastoral care worker at Cogat High School, now James Spence Calvert College in Amble, before Gordon retired at Annick and the church called me as their pastor back in 2003. Know some of you from previous visits in the past, so it's good to be back here and bring the greetings of Annick Baptist Church to you this morning. Okay. That's a little bit about me.
Thank you, David. Shall we just pray for David before he preaches to us? Father, we thank you for bringing David here with us today to share with us. And Lord, I pray that you would bless him as he opens your word to us. And I pray that you would speak through him, that he would be your channel, open and willing just to let your words and your heart flow through him to touch us all. We pray that we would all leave this place today changed, that we would be changed people, and that our hearts would be drawn just that little bit further into the mystery of who you are. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Liz. As you can see from the notices, the bulletin, I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 11 to 25. If you want to follow that. Hebrews 10, 11 to 25. And as I read, if you want to look out for the five lettuces in this passage. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I'll write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The first lettuce, verse 22, let us draw near to God. We usually holiday in the United Kingdom, so very rarely fly, but last summer it was our 30th wedding anniversary, so we thought we'd do something a little bit special, and we did. It included a 5-day cycle ride from the Brenner Pass to Verona in northern Italy, and we weren't lycra clad, but we did have padded shorts, which helped enormously. It also helped the first 2 days from the Brenner Pass were pretty much downhill all the way, so it was great to take in the view. But after a lovely holiday, I have to be said, it was a lovely holiday, we flew back from Munich with BA. And we were in economy class. And to get to economy class, we had to walk through business class. And we couldn't help noticing that their seats were a little bit bigger and comfier, and there was just a little bit more leg room than we were about to experience in economy class. And we took our seats in the front row immediately behind business class. And as everybody got sat down, the curtains were drawn across. And we were there rooted with the plebs in the back of the plane. That curtain separated us from the inner sanctum, the mysteries of business class and the holy of holies. We were not even worthy to look into business class at that point. And the curtain was a clear no entry. Whoops. Clear no entry signal. In the temple of Jerusalem, the veil or the curtain separated the holy place, the tabernacle, from the most holy place, the holy of holies where God dwelt, the symbol of his presence with his people. And only the high priest had access to the holy of holies once a year to perform the sacrifice. No one else was allowed entry. It was clear separation. And that was the curtain that was torn in two on Good Friday from top to bottom, with a sort of clear theological significance that this is God's initiative, God's grace and God's love, which brings about that tearing, as it were, through Jesus and his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice once for all, and he tears the curtain apart so that all can come within the holy of holies, not just the high priest, into the presence of a holy and awesome God. Not on the basis of anything we've done, but only on the basis of what Jesus has done. So that anyone, whatever class, background, nationality, can come in to the presence of God. No separation anymore. Some of you know that Paul, your pastor, and I trained together as Methodist ministers in Manchester. Paul lasted in Methodism a little bit longer than I did. But our circuit in Methodism from Manchester was the Oldham Circuit. And my job there would take me into the Royal Oldham Hospital on pastoral visits to see folk who are in the hospital. And in one section of the hospital, there was a shortcut between two wards via a staircase. The only problem was that the entrance to the staircase, on the door, it had no access, staff only. And I wasn't a chaplain at that time. I wasn't part of the official staff. But I thought, I'll use it because it'll save time in my busy schedule. And I felt a little bit like a naughty schoolboy, hoping against hope that I wouldn't get caught as I went through the doors and up the stairs to the ward above. And I never did. Jesus on the cross has ripped down the no access signs, so that we can enter into God's presence not like naughty schoolboys or girls, feeling guilty with fear and trembling, not sure if we should be there, but, as it says in verse 19, with confidence, with boldness. That's the word. Because our confidence is in Jesus, in his blood shed for us and his body broken for us. As we read in verse 20. Because he is our high priest. He has now done the job for us by sacrificing himself, and he hasn't retreated back through the curtain with it still in place. The curtain's down and he's saying, come on in, folks. It's okay. Open access for all who put their trust in me. And so, verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts made clean by Jesus' sacrifice, and our bodies cleansed in baptism as a sign of that. So let's make the most of this amazing privilege that Jesus has opened up for us, and draw near in worship as we have this morning. Draw near in prayer. enjoy just spending time with our God, resting in his love, living with our lives open to his presence all around us all the time. Perhaps there's something holding us back from drawing near this morning. Maybe a sense of unworthiness. Maybe we think we've messed up and we can't possibly come with confidence into God's presence. Christ has done all that is necessary for us, taking our sin and their consequences into himself so we don't have to. So that we can come this morning, perhaps even for the first time or afresh, and receive the Father's welcome, receive the embrace of his love. Let us draw near to God. It's open access at all times and in all places. And secondly, verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. That implies it's possible to let go our hold and allow it to slip. And that was a real issue for the Hebrews that this person is writing to. They were feeling the pressure. They discovered that being followers of Jesus was tough. It brought opposition. It wasn't an easy ride for them. And some of them were being tempted to go back to just being Jews. Let's go on with being Jews. Let's forget about this way of Jesus. Just go back to how it was before. Let's let go of being part of his community and being tempted to let go of the hope that they had in Jesus Christ, because the old way was much easier and less costly. And we can experience the same temptation, though perhaps for different reasons. We have a friend who is in acute pain every day because of MS. And she sent an email telling us that her request for financial help to see a specialist in London had been turned down because her case wasn't exceptional. And she is in agony every day because of her illness. And she spoke in her email about the fellowship of suffering. And she also spoke about the fellowship of clingers on, as she put it. The fellowship of clingers on. And there are things that happen that can threaten and loosen our grasp on the hope that we have in Christ. And some of us, even now, may be in the fellowship of the clingers on. May we hear the encouragement of the writer, don't let go your hold. Keep holding on without wavering, as the New Living Translation puts it. Because, verse 23, he who promised is faithful. As another version puts it, God can be trusted to keep his promise. God has never broken a promise, and he never will. What he says he will do, including his promise to be with us always, even when we struggle to see any sign of that where we are at this moment. And I'm sure there are people here this morning just reading through your items for prayer on the bulletin who've been through the ringer, who are going through the ringer, and the stuff of life. And perhaps that's almost brought you to the point of letting go, of faith, of hope. But there are some of you who are here, even though you're in that position or have been, because you haven't let go and you've held on and you have been able to say, God is faithful. He has brought me through. Just driving down this morning, and it was beautiful. Morpeth was misty gloom. But the sun was still shining. And I broke through the mist south of Morpeth. And the sun was there again in all its glory, and the autumnal colours were in full radiance. And that, some of you may be in that mist at the moment, and it looks as if the sun's gone out. It hasn't. It's just been covered. And you will break through. Jesus is alive still. He is risen. As we sung earlier, beyond this darkness, there is light. Jesus reigns. And one day you will know it again. Then the third letter, verse 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. That's something we need to think about, says the writer. This loving business doesn't just come automatically. Loving our brothers and sisters, the people around us, doing good deeds won't necessarily just happen. We need to spur one another on. And the word spur there is a strong word in the Greek. It's like the English word provocation. Now, provocation is more usually associated with a sort of negative, like a sense of irritation. And as Christians, we can easily irritate one another. Or we can provoke one another in ways that are harmful and negative. But this is about provoking, sharpening one another without leaving scars. Spurring one another on positively to express Christian faith in love and good deeds. The word good there, deeds that are attractive. Have that attractive quality about them. And we need to think of ways that we can do that. Perhaps when we see somebody putting love into action, we can express our appreciation of that, that may encourage them to do it again. You know, those in this church who are adopting, fostering, encourage them in the good deeds and the love that they're doing there. Because as we've had inklings this morning, that can be a tough old business, as I know from folk in our own church who are in that position. Or we may see opportunities for showing love and say to somebody, let's go and visit somebody, let's go and do this, let's go and do that. And we can do it together, spurring one another on to love and good deeds that we might not have done if we'd just been left to our own devices. And the fourth letter, verse 25. Let us not give up meeting together. Not long ago, I had a letter from a friend who was dead keen Christian in his 20s and 30s. And now he's not part of a church. And he's one of the many de-churched in our land. People who've developed the habit of not meeting with other Christians. Even though in some cases they still have a faith, but they can't cope with church. And I can understand why. As people have said, it's other Christians that make being a Christian so difficult. But there's nothing in the New Testament about following Jesus on our own. There are no lone rangers. It's not a solitary pursuit. It's about community. It's about family. And so the writer says, don't stop meeting together. And one way we can express our love for one another is just by being here on a Sunday, just turning up, even when we don't feel like it. No one will miss me, we might think. Oh yes, they do. Perhaps we don't realize just how much we contribute to church just by being here. Our very presence is an encouragement to others, not least to your pastor. And if you're not here, the poorer this community is. And that's a real danger in our days of irregular church attendance. Like me, some of you will be brought up as thricers. Three times a Sunday, we were there, morning, afternoon, and evening. And some of you I know are still faithful twicers. You're here morning and evening at Whitley Bay Baptist Church. Some of us, perhaps more now, will be oncers. And there are those who are every now and againers. Or even once a monthers. And I'm not saying that as criticism, I'm just saying that as observation. The word here suggests official worship gatherings like we have this morning. Don't stop meeting to worship God with his people, the writer is saying. But we could apply that to more informal gatherings, maybe our midweek house groups or small groups, our fellowship groups, maybe having meals together with others from the church, or just meeting up with somebody to have a coffee, to listen, to support, to pray with them. Just relaxing together, building relationship together. Just come back from our church autumn break in the Lake District, about 50 or so folk there. It's brilliant. We didn't have a program as such, really. We had morning and evening thoughts for the day. But in the midst, people just could do their own thing and just spend time building relationship, enjoying being with each other in that context. We need each other. Don't stop meeting together. And then the final let us in verse 25b. Let us encourage one another. Let us be people who seek to build one another up, not pull one another down. You know, it can happen so easily and often in church life. We can be critical and judgmental of those around us. And that can be hurtful and destructive. You know, we need all the encouragement we can get from each other, because it's hard enough being a Christian in the 21st century without our fellow Christians making it all that tougher. Following Jesus can be difficult, as it was for the Hebrews. And it may be because of our own personal circumstances and our life experiences that can lead us to discouragement or despair, as we've heard earlier. Stuff happens which makes us ask, why? Where are you, God? Or it may be the wider climate of the UK in which we're operating as church today, where there's not outright persecution, whatever people may say, not outright persecution in the way that it was for the Hebrews, but there's certainly indifference, where people, for the most part, aren't receptive to the gospel, where the word Christian is much more often a whoa word than a Christian word, has negative connotations in our society, and where the church in many places is in decline, on the margins, dismissed as a relic of a bygone era. And so mission is just hard going. Sometimes difficult to remain positive. It's easy to get demoralized, and that is the reality that we face. It's certainly the reality that we face in Alnwick, even if it's not in Whitley Bay. And we all the more need to hear the word to encourage one another, to hang in. Mission in the 21st century UK is long haul, and we've just got to keep going. But also share stories when we do see signs of the kingdom of God coming, even small signs, when we experience God at work. Think of a lady, Diane, who came to our debt advice centre, or we came to her because of her debt. And then her befriender invited her to the carol service in the Northumberland Hall that we have last Christmas, and she came along to that, and God seemed to touch her life. Then she started going to a group that meets on a Thursday in Costa's, just to come together and share lives and begin to explore faith. And then she came to the Easter service back in the Northumberland Hall. And then she started turning up on Sunday mornings. Somebody gave her a Gideon's large print Bible so she could read a Bible. She went to the Cap Money course. She went to the Cap Job Club. And then she went on a Cap Discovery break in the summer, where people are able to go away for a few days' holiday, and they hear the good news of Jesus. And on the last night, Diane gave her life to Christ. And she rang her befriender straight away to tell her what had happened. And 2 weeks ago, Diane shared a little bit of her story on Cap Sunday. And she couldn't find really words to express it that much, but you could just see a beaming smile at the front. And he knew life was different for Diane. And yes, she will have her ups and her downs, but things have changed. And that's just one person. But I thank God for one person. And God delights in one person. He's thrilled. And the angels in heaven rejoice because of one person. And you may have your own and similar encouragements. And that's just an encouragement to us in Anik. You know, we try to be part of God's mission to our town, but it's hard going. So we're delighted when we have those encouragements that keep on going. God is still at work. His Spirit can still touch somebody's life and turn them around. That's great. And we remember that the backcloth against which we are living and working and seeking to engage in mission is the lettuce sandwich that we have in these verses. We've got these five lettuces sandwiched between verse 19 and verse 25. Verse 19 is the context of a Christ who has come, who's come to show us the Father, to give us signs of what the kingdom of God is all about, and to die and open up the way to the Father for us and a relationship with a living God. And then verse 25, the writer refers to the day approaching. The day of his return, the Christ who will come again to finish what he started, to restore all things to how God intended they should be. And that's the big story of God's saving purposes in Christ. And we're in the middle of the sandwich, seeking to be faithful to his calling, to share in his mission. And he's given us each other, our brothers and sisters within the Christian community, the community of his followers, to do this together. And he's given us his Holy Spirit to enable us and equip us for that mission. Let us, let us, let us, let us. The Tour of Britain came through Anik in September, and it did just come through. Blinking, you'd missed it. But one thing impressed me as the peloton came through Anik was the Movistar team. Seven riders, just right behind each other. Team. And in the Tour de France, you may not have followed it, but in the Tour de France, there was the occasion when very early into the race leader, Tony Martin, if we can see picture, please, David, of Tony Martin. Yellow jersey leader of the Tour, bumped into another rider, and a bit like dominoes, they just went. And it turned out that Tony Martin had dislocated his shoulder in the accident. Then came along his fellow riders from his team at X Quick Step, and they didn't just sort of cycle on past him, heading for the finishing line to further their own cause. They stopped and got off their bikes to see how he was, including the world champion at the time. And then we see the next picture. They helped him back on his bike, and they rode with him up a steep hill towards the finish, arms round him, just helping each other up that way. And the guy in the white shirt was world champion. And that just struck me as being a brilliant image of the church, what it can be. Where we may have our knocks and our bumps and our disappointments and our falls, but we help one another get back on the bike. And we just encourage one another. We support one another. And we're heading for the finishing line together as the people of God. And I'm just going to chuck in another three more lettuces to the basket as we finish from Hebrews chapter 12 with reference to another race. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Brothers and sisters, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, our great example, our great inspiration, our Saviour, our risen Lord, and the one who goes with us along the way. Let's pray. Just going to repeat some of those "let us" phrases and pause. Maybe one of them God wants to speak particularly into our lives at the moment through them. So as we hear them again, let's be open to his voice and his encouragement to us this morning. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together. Let us encourage one another. And Lord, in the midst of all that, will you help us to keep our eyes fixed on you as the inspiration to carry on and continue as part of your mission to rescue a lost world. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our Saviour, you are our risen Lord. Thank you that you are coming again to finish and perfect the work that you've begun. Take us and use us as part of that continuing story, we pray. And fill us afresh with your Spirit to that end. In your precious name we ask it. Amen.